You're listening to another fine cast from Sideways Cycles.
Right, I thought we'd try something a little bit different this time. So, for today's podcast, I'm going to talk you through the build-up of a complete bike. What we're putting together is a spot. I'm just going to take you through each stage of it, process by process, until we end up with a complete bike, theoretically. So first of all, we'll put the seat post into the stand, and then we'll pop the frame onto that, so that we've got the thing supported, so we can work on it nice and easily. Okay, what we're going to do first is just chase out the threads in the bottom bracket, cut the faces of the bottom bracket shell just to make sure that everything's nice and straight and parallel. There we go. Do the threads. Because we're not actually cutting any threads, we're just cleaning out any paint that might be left in there and taking the tool in deep enough that we can then face the bottom bracket shell. We do have to cut a couple of threads at the bottom of the shell by the feel of things. And this is where it gets to be tough work. Just going to give it a little bit more of a squirt of cutting fluid. We go in a quarter of a turn, and then back it off just to crack the threads. And in a quarter, and back it off. And so on until the cutting tool is in far enough that we can happily get the facer on there, make sure all the things are parallel. One side done. This is a much more important job these days than it ever used to be, to make sure that both faces of the bottom bracket shell are parallel with the advent of external bearing bottom brackets, which rely on those faces being parallel to keep the bearings in line. Now obviously a lot of this I'm going to edit out, because sitting there listening to threads being cut isn't the most enthralling thing for anybody, no matter how sad you are. Okay, we're in deep enough. That's one half of the tool being popped off, with the cutting die still in place, so that we can put the facing cutter back onto the tool. Give it a little squirt of lube. And then check. See how much material we need to remove from the drive side face. There we go. As is normally the case, the drive side is pretty tidy anyway. No need to take anything off there apart from a sliver of paint. Now, let's see what the non-drive side's like. Check out how good these Canadians are, eh? Looks pretty good. Perfect. Evidently them boys do it right. So now it's just a case of removing the tool from the frame. Clean off any metal chips and cutting oil so it's ready for use next time. And then just clean out the debris from the bottom bracket shell. That's nice. Nice clean threads. Nice clean shell. Now we'll just give it a good coating of grease. Make sure that's right in the bottom of the threads. Give the inside of the shell a coating as well, because obviously any moisture that collects in the frame is all going to end up down in the bottom of the bracket shell. If we give it a good coating of waterproof grease, it's not going to turn into rust too quickly. Hopefully in between bottom bracket services, we'll be able to clean it out. Right, now we're going to pop the bottom bracket into there. And that's always a nice thing about clean threads. You can wipe it in by hand and then just cinch it up with a tool. Obviously we're tightening all this, these up to the correct torques, which you get a feel for when you do a few hundred of them. Give it a quick wipe over, get rid of the excess grease. That's done. Pop a chain ring onto the cranks. What we're using here are Shimano XT cranks. So we're going to remove the three existing rings, which are designed to shift gears, because we're building a single speed. So we're going to pop a single ring on there, which isn't designed to shift. Just struggling with one bolt, as is always the way. I'm using the oh so poorly designed chainring peg spanner, which doesn't quite fit into any chainring or chainring combination. Just to hold the back of the bolt steady, there we go. Don't know if the microphone picked up that the cracking sound that you get when the dry bolts give way. Good old Shimano, putting them together with no lube whatsoever. There we go. Nice redundant rings. Okay, so now we're going to pop on an unramped ring from those fine fellas at Middleburn. And just to make the bike look pretty, I'm going to fit on a spot bash guard, which sits where the outer chain ring would have done. I'm pretty convinced that anything that gets threaded into anything else should either have some kind of thread lock or some kind of grease, so you can get it to the correct torque and make sure it stays there. There we go. Put a smear of grease on the axle, again just so that we don't get any corrosion problems in later life, making it difficult to get the cranks out of the frame. Slide those through the bottom bracket, make sure it's all the way. Put the nasty cheap plastic pre-tension bolt, then torque up the two pinch bolts on the left hand arm. Not a big fan of pinch bolts on crank arms, I have to say. Anyone that remembers the old BMX days, the Redline flight cranks, the two pinch bolts were never a great idea. Tighten those up to what feels to me 13 newton meters. All spins nice and freely. Great. Okay, I think while we're here, a little bit of grease. This bike's been set up with a V-brake on the back and a disc brake on the front, simply because that's the way the owner wants it, which is fine by me. Smear of grease onto the exposed V-brake studs. Not that the brakes actually pivot on those, they just rest on them. The pivot is inside the brake itself. Now these are Avid V-brakes, so the bolt's pre-treated with a little dab of thread lock. Okay, bottom bracket's in, cranks are on, rear brake's on. I've already fitted the headset in this frame, so we won't bother going through the reaming and facing of the head tube, because it's already been done. However, we do need to fit the fork crown race, which just slips over the steerer with a little dab of grease. And as it's an FSA headset, it has a split crown, so we don't need to worry about boshing it into place. So we'll slide the fork through, compression ring, the stem on, chuck a spacer in there, measure what we need to chop off. So we need to remove 52 millimeters of fork steerer and add on a couple of millimeters of clearance. And that's what we'll jolly well do. Ricky. Hope you enjoyed that whilst you were listening to that fantastic tune. Courtesy of the Podsafe Music Network. I was away trimming the steerer tube down. Now it's deburred and nicely chamfered all the way around. Gonna pop in the star-fangled nut. And you know what that means. That's right.
Hammer time!
We do that with a threadless nut setter, which is basically a lump of metal that you can hit with a screw thread on the other end that sets the star-fangled nut just down to the correct depth, nice and straight. Okay, a little smidge of grease on all the joining faces, just basically to prevent any kind of creaky noises or anything like that from developing. And slide the fork in, pop the spacer on, pop the stem on, and swizzle in the top cap. Little blob of grease on the threads just so he doesn't end up corroding into place. Preload the headset, make sure everything spins nice and smoothly, point it in vaguely the right direction.
Ookie doke!
We now have cranks, rear brake, forks, headset, and stem in place. Rear wheel's already built. There's a nice white Industries rear wheel on there. We'll just sit that into the dropouts so we can measure the chain line and make sure we don't need to make any adjustments. Which means we need to be seeing a 55mm chain line. Chances of that happening are fucking slim. What have we got? 50mm. Well, that's about as good as being 6 miles out. So, we're going to have to do, because there's nothing we can do to change the position of the freewheel on the hub, or the spacing of the hub in relation to the dropout, we're going to have to change things at the front end. So, off come the cranks.
Hammer time!
Plastic-faced mallet. Not hammer. Smarty pants. Right, so we can gain 2.5mm simply by swapping one of the spacers from the non-drive side to the drive side. And we can gain another 2.5mm by adding a spacer onto the axle, like so. Check out what the chain line's looking like now. Now we're sitting at 55mm. Beautiful. Okay, so we now have perfect chain line. Using my trusty roll-off chain tool. Okay, chain's in place. Okay, chain tension's something like. Everything's spinning smoothly. There we go. Starting to look like a bicycle now. I'm just going to face the disc mounts on the Fox forks, because they're always a mile out. This is a cool tool. The Megura Ganomat, which is presumably German for disc mount facing tool. And oh look, it's miles out. What a surprise. So we'll back the mount off, face the top mount. That noise you can hear is the tool cutting first paint and then slivers of the material from the brake mount. Slide it down to the next one. We'll take that down to the stop, thus ensuring perfectly straight and true brake mounts. There we go. Pop the front brake on there, which is an Avid BB7. Right, the rotor's already on the wheel, but I'm just going to check that the bolts are all nice and tight. And they are. Pop the wheel into place, past the gargantuan lawyer's lips that Fox Forks come with. Obviously somebody sometime has sued them for a wheel falling out. Still never mind, eh? So now we just squeeze the caliper together with the fingers. Don't forget, it's a ball bearing 7, it's not a hydraulic brake. Tighten up the bolts, and what we should have is a perfectly aligned brake that doesn't drag on the wheel. Beautiful. Right, we'll slip some handlebars on. Nice to see that Easton have taken the trouble to grease the bolts on their stem before putting it together, which is a nice touch actually, because you can imagine the time it takes somebody to actually put a blob of grease onto a bolt before they thread it into a stem. It's just extra hours that they're paying for, which they don't really need to. Only halfway decent mechanic's going to do it anyway. So, yeah. Hats off to Easton. Well done, guys. And well done for putting little alignment marks on your handlebars so that we can get them spot on in the middle of the stem. It's almost as if you know what you're doing. You can throw some brake levers on there now. Okay, we'll put the front brake cable on first. Put the cable through. A couple of drops of lube on there. Being careful, of course, not to get any of the lubed cable onto the disc rotor. Lift the pinch bar up. Give it a squeeze. Ooh, lovely. That's the front brake set up. just trim the cable off. Nice and short so that the flapping cable end doesn't get caught in the disc rotor as you're riding along, thus locking the brake on instantly and throwing it over the handlebars unexpectedly, which is not a good thing to happen. I was riding down a hill once, on the road believe it or not, and I thought, that's a strange noise that my front wheel's making, I wonder what that could be, as it creaked and cracked. So I thought I'd slow down and take a look, and I didn't get a chance. I slowed down a tiny bit, and then all of a sudden, completely unexpectedly, my front hub seized solid, stopped instantly, threw me over the handlebars completely unexpectedly, left me lying in the middle of the road wondering what the fuck was going on. Anyway, kind of got up, thought, ow, that hurt. Found that I had dislocated my right shoulder, and then kind of staggered around in the middle of the road for a little while, then decided that I should perhaps move my bike, picked it up to find that the fork legs, this is back in the days of rigid forks, were splayed open to about 150mm, and my skewer was nowhere to be found. I did actually find it a little while later, embedded in the grass embankment at the side of the road. And what had happened is that the front wheel bearings had basically just collapsed and seized, and in doing so, this was in the days of cup and cone bearings, the lock nut had simply wound off the axle, forcing the fork legs apart and forcing the skewer to give way, which the kind of explosive failure of the skewer, if you like, caused the axle to both sides of the axle to expand at a rapid rate of knots, which splayed the fork legs open. Obviously the front wheel fell out at that point, and that was when the whole thing went horribly wrong. Unfortunately, a nice passing motorist saw me staggering around looking stupid and decided to give me a lift home. After that, I went to the hospital to have my shoulder checked out, and they said, no, it's fine, don't worry about it. And it's still dislocated to this day. Anyway, let's set up the rear brake. Trim up the cable nice and flat. We'll slide some donuts onto the exposed inner cable. Couple of drops of lube. Nip up the pinch bolt, give him a squeeze.
Lovely.
Trim it down, crimp it up, and there we are. There we go, the job's done. All that remains is to pop some pedals on there, pop some grips on, which the customer is bringing himself, give it a little test ride and make sure everything's feeling fine, and we have one complete bicycle. Well, I hope that was as interesting for you as it was for me, because I can tell you, it was enthralling. Maybe next time I'll be building something with hydraulic brakes and gears. Won't that be fun? Good night, everybody.
Solid fucking gold.